Road Less Traveled, written by Nereg Seki, read by CC Rambles. This is a moi d'Alzusher genfic.
Of course I'll recognize him, Tin Guangshen said when the war was over, and those were the words Meng Yao had been waiting for so long to hear, the validation he'd craved, that he'd demanded, that he'd betrayed and killed and schemed for, his mother's first and last dream for him, the one he'd sworn to her memory that he would honor no matter what the cost. The man wasn't even talking to him.
He's my son, isn't he?
Tin Guangshen said, puffing his chest out as all the cultivators around him oohed and aahed over his generosity.
He'll be part of the family with a proper name and everything. You can call him Tin Guangyao.
A good name, one of the sycophant sect leaders that always hovered by Tin Guangshen's side said, sickening smile on his lips. It was echoed by those like him. Guang, that was the name of the prior generation. Properly speaking, given his age, it ought to be Tin Zuyao, but that would be too much, wouldn't it? It might imply that he had anything to do with the next generation, with the line of succession. And Tin Guangshen clearly didn't want to give anyone the wrong idea, least of all him. This is what I've sacrificed so much for.
He'd already joined the Tin sect, you know,
Tin Guangshen was telling someone now.
Before we sent him off to be a spy, his merits should be counted in the Tin sect's favor when we begin to split up the spoils. And as he was the one who brought down Wanruo Han, that should get us the most...
Meng Yao instinctively tensed, waiting for Nie Ming Tui to give Tin Guangshen the tongue-lashing a shameless statement like that deserved. When it didn't come, he turned to look at the man. Nie Ming Tui was sitting down, which he hated to do, his eyes blankly gazing out into the distance. His clothing was clean and his saber was at his back. There was nothing in his bearing or posture that hinted he'd been in chains less than a full day earlier, forced to kneel before the man he hated most. He looked tired. Meng Yao suddenly wanted to go to his side the way he had when he was the man's deputy. No one would have questioned it back then. It would have all been simple and straightforward, the way most things were with the Nie sect. They would have all assumed he had some reason, or even just that Nie Ming Tui would be happy to have him there. And he had been, consistently, even if Meng Yao really hadn't had any reason to be there. Everyone just accepted that his rightful place was at the sect leader's side. Even if there'd been whispers implying things about them, and of course there'd been whispers, quite a large number of people had actually sounded admiring about it, of all improbable things. He'd limped once because of a rock in his shoe, and half a dozen cultivators had offered him toasts, quite sincerely, for having had the bravery to scale such an imposing mountain. Nie Ming Tui wouldn't be happy to have him there now. There wasn't any reason for him to go there now anyway. He'd done just as Nie Ming Tui had predicted, the bitter words he'd hissed to Lan Xichen when the latter man had proposed they swear brotherhood when the battle had ended.
You know he only wants the glory so that he can buy his way into his father's sect. Why should I let him step on me to get there more than he already has?
He'd agreed to swear brotherhood in the end. Meng Yao didn't know if it was for Lan Xichen's sake or his own, and Nie Ming Tui certainly hadn't looked happy about it, but he'd agreed. Maybe he'd just been too tired to keep fighting. Before, Meng Yao would have scoffed at the thought, Nie Ming Tui, not fighting? But now... Tin Guangshen would be very happy when he found out about their agreement to swear brotherhood whenever an appropriate place or shrine could be found. A direct connection between his sect and two sect leaders? That was even more valuable than the merits of being a war hero, and more lasting. Meng Yao could leverage it into a better position than the one undoubtedly being planned for him. He could use it to win a place at Tin Guangshen's side, and from there he could determine where to go next, how best to serve his father's interests, to win his attention, and climb his way to the top. It was what he'd planned. It was pointless. He'd only promised his mother he'd get the name, hadn't he? Tin Guangshen's recognition. That's what he'd told her as she'd faded away,
her hands in his. He'd promised her that he would make it to Lan Ling, and one day his father would call him by the name he deserved to have. The promise that one day he'd be the one at the top of those stairs, looking down at those he would be able to crush beneath his feet? That had only been a promise he'd made to himself. Those were much easier to break. "You honor me, father," Meng Yao said, suddenly full of recklessness, holding his arms up gracefully to salute. "I gladly accept the name you have chosen to bestow upon me." Tin Guangshun looked smugly satisfied by his meek obedience.
"Yes, well," he said, "we'll have to find a place for you too, something to keep you busy."
"Something to keep you out of the way." Just as he'd expected. "No need," Meng Yao said, and he noticed out of the corner of his eye that Nie Mingchui had turned his head to look at him. He couldn't see the man's expression, but he hoped he was surprised. "Your recognition is enough for me. I will of course come to Lan Ling to pay my filial respects, but I fear I've been outside for too long to feel comfortable anywhere. With your permission, I intend to continue being a rogue cultivator."
Tin Guangshun looked surprised, but also pleased. The man truly was a short-sighted idiot, thinking about how much trouble it would save him not to have to bring Meng Yao, to bring Tin Guang Yao home, and not at all about what he might be giving up by not doing so. Meng Yao's brains clearly all came from his mother. Tin Guangshun would be kicking himself over it when he heard the news of the swearing ceremony. Meng Yao intended to do that much, at least. Abandoning a position he didn't actually want was one thing, but he'd earned that oath, the backing of two of the most powerful people in the world. Even if Nie Mingchui hated him forever, he wouldn't allow anyone to look down on someone who called him brother, and his support, along with Lan Zichun's, would undoubtedly be very handy in the future, no matter what he eventually chose to do with his life.
Of course," Tin Guangshun said, and he was saying it in public too. It would be too late for him to change his mind later, not without a loss of face that he wouldn't be able to bear. "As you see fit, Ayao. In fact, I think it's a good idea, don't all of you? These young men, war heroes, they're all so flighty, aren't they? All they think about is glory. It would be cruel to tie them down with responsibilities they don't need. You can always return to Lan Ling, of course, whenever you need aid, and call upon our resources within reason."
Lan Ling Tin was wealthy enough that Meng Yao could buy everything he'd ever wanted three times over without them even noticing. But Tin Guangshun had to add in that little, "within reason," a sign of the humiliations Meng Yao would have had to endure if he'd stubbornly stayed the course. He'd had his fill of humiliation, a lifetime's worth.
"And of course you have the right to wear sparks amid snow if you wish."
Meng Yao saluted again, murmured a thank you, and retreated.
"Are you sure?" Lan Zichun asked him, looking worried. "I thought you wanted..."
"I changed my mind," Meng Yao told him. "Maybe I'll come visit you in Gusu instead." Lan Zichun smiled, and Meng Yao's heart skipped a beat the way it always did.
"You're always welcome."
"A Tinghua too,"
an unexpected voice said, and Meng Yao glanced over to Nie Mingchui, standing now but leaning against a wall. His clothing had gaped open a little when he'd moved, revealing a hint of white bandages beneath his robes. He must have been injured much worse than Meng Yao had realized, for it to still be affecting him. Lan Zichun brightened while Meng Yao was still wondering what had happened to Nie Mingchui during that missing time between his capture and his presentation before the throne at the Nightless City.
"Does that mean you've..." "I'm swearing brotherhood with him, of course he can come visit,"
Nie Mingchui cut him off, turning his face away in what might even be embarrassment.
"There's nothing more to it than that."
There was, of course. Meng Yao had turned down something that suited his self-interest, a move atypical of him, entirely contrary to the shallow and ambitious person Nie Mingchui had judged him to be. He'd gotten Nie Mingchui's curiosity up. It wasn't forgiveness, not even close, but it was something. He could use that. "Tinghua too," Meng Yao said, and smiled. Maybe I'll build up a collection of fans as I travel and leave them all there for Huaisheng's amusement. Nianming Tui groaned.
Don't! It's already bad enough. Do you know he's filled up an entire closet?
An entire closet? Lan Xichen asked, amused. Surely not.
I swear he's got one for every day of the war.
Surely not. He can't even use that many.
I'm telling you, Xichen.
Some time alone would be good, Meng Yao decided. He would use the time to think about what he wanted to do with his life. What he wanted, not his mother's dreams for him. And when he was done thinking, well, there was always Gusu and Tinghua waiting for him. The end.